So if you have a look at Psalm 84, that's where we are. Talking about the longing of the psalmist to be in the presence of God and walking through the valley of Baca and heading to Zion to appear before God. Hallelujah. The pilgrim's heart is set. The journey is ahead of him. And we shared and we'll share it again, that when you're on a journey, every facet of the journey is important. When you're going on a trip, the most important part of the trip is to get there. But with a journey, with a pilgrim, every nook and cranny, every bend in the road, every hill and every valley in the road, every one of those things is important. And every part of the journey teaches the pilgrim regarding life and regarding God. And here, his heart is set on a pilgrimage. And when he comes to the valley of Baca and he to a well, a spring, so that others that follow may understand the nature of the valley, but he's not to camp in the valley. He's going to Zion to appear before God. So I'm going to bend my message slightly to the fathers this morning because it's Father's Day. But Zion is very important to God. And if you do a study of Zion, it'll just blow your brains. Excuse the expression. If you are an English learner, you're learning English as a second language, and you tell somebody it's going to blow your brains, they're going to, I'm not going to study Zion, it'll blow my brains out. Because when I came to New Zealand, they say, let me pick your brains. I thought, how can you pick my brains? But these are idioms that we understand, and Zion, in a sense, to them, is a physical place. To us, it's a symbolic place. But there is still a Zion. We still need the presence of God. But Zion is very important in the scriptures. Let me read some of the things that the Bible says Zion is about. Psalm 87 verse 2. The Bible says, the Lord loves Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Verse 3 says, glorious things are spoken of thee, Zion, city of our God. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. That's talking about Zion. Psalm 132 verse 3 says, God has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his home. Hallelujah. Psalm 48, verse 1 and 2 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. We had a young Christian come to church some time ago, and it was a lady, and she learned, she read the scripture that God sits on the side of the north, and someone asked her, where does your God live? You know what she said? On a mountain north of here. I thought, that was a great answer. It'll confuse somebody, but you don't have to explain stuff. Sometimes you just declare stuff. How many know that when God speaks to you, you may not understand? You know, a lot of people say, well, people know it here, but they don't know it here. You know, most of the times when God speaks to you, he speaks to you in here. it's here that don't understand. And then you're trying to figure it out here. And sometimes it takes years to figure out in here what God spoke in here. Is that right? So it doesn't have to drop from here to here. Sometimes it has to go from here to here. Are you okay? The Spirit of God bears witness with my brain. No, the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. And sometimes there are things in here that you know, but you don't know. And it has to get from here to here. Are you okay? What else have you got there, Stephen? In Salem also is his tabernacle, and his dwelling place is in Zion. Hallelujah. He chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. So there's much about Zion in the Bible. And if you go to Hebrews, you're going to find something nice, because I'm going to speak on that sometime in the near future. So if you ever look at Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22. But you are coming to Mount Zion and the city of the living God. You and I are come to Mount Zion. That's the New Testament. That's not old. And it tells us that Moses came to Sinai, but you and I, who are the church of the firstborn, are coming to Mount Zion. Are you all right? So why is Zion so important to God? And what has it got to do with you and I? The journey of the pilgrim going through the valley, but he's actually heading to a mountain. He's going through the valley, but he's going to climb this mountain. He's heading to a mountain. And Paul said, you're coming to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, to Jesus Christ the mediator, and the blood of Jesus that, hello, speaks better things than that of Abel. Hallelujah. It appears from the scriptures, if you study the Bible, that mountains and the presence of God go hand in hand. Here, he's longing, I long to be in your presence. How amiable are your tabernacles? Where are his tabernacles? It's on Mount Zion. And the psalmist said, send your light and your truth. They will lead me to your holy hill. Then I will go to the tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar and to God my exceeding joy. Hallelujah. So Zion for you and I is symbolic. It's symbolic of the presence of God. Now, the presence of God is an amazing thing. So amazing that Moses, who was used to the presence of God, now saying to God, when God said, I'll just go up, I'll send my angels. He said, I don't want the angels. I want the King of the angels. If your presence go not with me, don't send me up hither with these people. I'd rather dwell in the desert with your presence than dwell in the best places without your presence. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 16, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. You will never find joy like that, and you will never be as happy as you could be. Imagine what you like to do best. You know what that is? That's rubbish compared to the presence of God. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Now you can understand a little bit better what the wise man said. He said, the day that you die is a greater day than the day that you were born. Now why did he say that? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to his mind, it's a far, far, far greater day to go and be with God than the day that you came into the earth. Why? Because you now gain the presence of God. And Paul said this, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I gain the presence of the fairest of 10,000, the bright and the morning star, the one that died and rose again for me. I'm going to see him face to face. Hallelujah. So here in the Old Testament is a physical place, and they take a yearly pilgrimage to be in the presence of God. But Zion is a mountain. Hallelujah. So when the psalmist said, I lift my eyes unto the hills. Now you realize in Israel, hills and mountains, some of the things they call mountains, we will not even call mountains here. But the hills he's talking about is actually three mountains. So they're not just, no, lift your eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. What are the hills he's looking? There are three mountains, Mount Sinai, Mount Zion, and Mount Moriah. Those are the hills. So he calls them hills, but they're actually mountains. So when I say mountain and hill, the same. In New Zealand, a mountain is a bit higher than a hill. In Israel, hallelujah. So, mountains and the presence of God go hand in hand. Moses built a tabernacle on the top of the Mount Sinai, and the presence of God turns up. When the priests go in once a year, and the Shekinah of God will turn up. David built a tabernacle, erected his tent on top of Mount Zion, and the presence of God was there. And then Solomon built a temple on top of Mount Sinai, and when he dedicated the temple, the glory of God fell that even the priests that were offering sacrifices could not stand up. They all, boom, the presence of God. So when the psalmist said, I lift my eyes to the hills. I want to ask you a question. What hill are you looking at? Are they hills of trouble, problems, broken relationships? Are they hills of unmet expectations? Lift my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? But my help comes from the Lord. Now, why look to the hill? Because on the hill is the tabernacle, and the tabernacle encompasses the presence of God. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Now, the problem with the presence of God is it's everywhere, but it's not anywhere. And how you experience the presence of God is not God's problem. It's ours. So you can have somebody, two people can walk together, but one will experience the presence of God and the other one does not. Or one will experience the Shekinah, the other one. Why? It's determined by how you want to pursue, whether your heart is set. So you can have somebody come from a totally broken background and just take off like a rocket. And you can be sitting in church from a boy and he said, what did he do? And that's why many times young people that grow up in the church, they want to go out and touch the world because they see so many people from the world taking off like rockets when they come to God. And here they are just, and so they want to backslide so that in the backsliding state, they can come back and take off like them. You don't have to backslide. You just have to choose to take off. Then he came to his senses and he said to himself, I am going home. Who said to him? He said to himself. God does not want grandchildren. God only has children. And God wants you to touch him the same way a prophet can touch him, instead of you and I waiting for a prophetic word from a prophet or a message from a visiting minister. You need to touch God for yourself. Some people say, well, I've never seen God. Well, bless your darling heart and smack your face. That's not God's fault. That's your fault. And that kind of attitude, you will never see the glory of God. God loves the humble. Are you all right? Now, don't forget, after the service, we're going. All right? Hallelujah. Are you all right? So, how you experience, we said last time, relationship is personal. And when John decided Jesus was going to love him more than any other disciple, John decided to do that, and it happened. So how you experience this presence is how much you want it. Smith Wigglesworth said this, if you want to heal the sick and perform miracles, don't. It'll cost you everything. We don't even like to pay the cost sometimes. Are you all right? I remember reading about Catherine Kuhlman and Jamie Buckingham, who was a man of God and ended up praying with Catherine Kuhlman. And Jamie Buckingham said, the glory of God so powerful, I had to crawl out of the room and leave her there with God. But she said, I know where Catherine died. I can take you to the place where she died. And from then on, God used her so mightily. So powerful was that anointing on her that people from Canada will get in the bus to come to Los Angeles for the meeting, and they'll get healed in Canada. How much of God do you want? It's not dependent on God. It's dependent on us. So the crazy thing is, you actually arrive the day you get saved. When you get saved, but you haven't arrived. It's a journey. It's a pilgrimage for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Now, God has always called men to the mountain. He calls women to the mountain, but I said, I'll bend my message to fathers this morning. The Bible said about Moses, he was looking after his father-in-law's sheep, and he went out beyond the back part of the desert to the mountain of God. And in that mountain, a tree burst into flames, but it was not consumed. And Moses found a revelation of God and the commissioning of God, that when he left that place, the most powerful kingdom bowed to his tokotoko. And every time from then on, every time God wanted to talk to Moses, he will call Moses to the mountain. And on Wednesday, I spent about an hour or maybe a little less with some fathers in our church. We had coffee at McDonald's. And I thought it was beautiful just to be there. Now, can you imagine what would happen to this church and this city if the fathers of our church would be called to the mountain and they said, my heart is set on a pilgrimage. I'm walking through the valley. I may be lonely. I may be isolated, so that I know who I am and I know whose I am. You know who you are and whose you are in isolation, and you're walking through the valley of Baca, but you're heading to the mountain because God constantly calls fathers to the mountain. Amen. And he said to him, take now your son, your only son, and take him to Mount Moriah, and I will show you a peak where you can sacrifice that boy to me. Are you all right? Jack Hayford is a friend. And he started a church in, he took it over and only 13 people in the church. Today is about 40, 50,000 people, two campuses in the San Fernando Valley. But he said, the church turned when the men of the church began to get together, love one another, and seek the face of God together. The father of the faith was called to a mountain to offer a sacrifice. Now, long before we had the priesthood, Aaron and his sons, there were patriarchal priests. They were the fathers of the home. They were the ones that led the family to the presence of God. They were the ones that climbed the mountain of God, so they can appear in the presence of God. And in doing that, their children see and follow their footsteps. Abraham left a city to live in a tent. Isaac lived in a tent. Jacob lived in a tent. They followed the faith of their dad. And when fathers and grandfathers climb the hills to appear before God in Zion, a family will follow. Your job as a father is the most important job and privilege. It's more important than your wife, more important than your children, more important than your church, more important than the city. But if you do your job properly, guess who will benefit? Your wife, your children, your church, your city, your nation. If we do our job. Hallelujah. Now, just because you have children does not mean that you are a father. If you have children and then run away, you're not a father. Father is the foundation. Father is the nurturer. Father is the sustainer. Father is the provider. Whoever gives you a foundation, whoever provides for you, whoever sustains you, whoever nurtures you, that's your dad. But some people think that they can have children everywhere and then run away. You're a disaster going somewhere to happen. So you don't have to have children to be a father. You can have no biological children, yet father many in the faith. Because you know how to climb. Now, to climb mountains is not easy. It's hard. It's difficult. Hallelujah. But is it the most amazing experience? Now, you say, Pastor, I haven't climbed any mountains. I don't think anyone here can say that honestly. Because everyone here has had a problem. And it's a mountain that you have to climb. But you're going to be surprised that at the top of your problem, if you consistently climb, you're going to find it. You're going to find His presence, because the high place of God is darkness. God lives in darkness. And in the darkness of your pain, in the darkness of your difficulty, if you will consistently come to Him, climbing that mountain is not a one-hour devotion. Climbing that mountain is a lifestyle of walking. You may stumble and bust your head on a rock, but you still climb, because at the end of it is God. Maybe you're here and that's your story, that's your journey. It hasn't been easy. But you don't build Rome in one day and you don't arrive in one day. Keep on climbing. Because you're going to appear before God in Zion.
The pain and the difficulties of your life are things that you can use to build an altar to this God of gods and give him praise. Hallelujah. And if you, as a father, continue to do that, then the little mokopunas that follow you will imitate your faith and climb their hills and know the right hills to look to and know that God helps us in times of difficulties. But it's up to us. Amen. Are you all right? God bless you. Happy Father's Day. But if that's your journey, I want you to stand because I want to pray for us. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You're a good, good Father. And all good gifts and all perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Thank you for the mountains. Thank you for the valleys. Because you're a God of the mountain and God of the valley. But Lord, as we walk, that our hearts will be set. The difficulties that we face are difficulties that are faced by everyone in their own perspective and lives. But we climb to see your glory, to appear before you, to know your presence. But Father, I pray for each one standing, and I stand with them, that Lord, more and more, step by step, day by day, we will keep on walking, we will keep on climbing. We thank you that you climb Calvary's hill that we might be saved. And we thank you, Lord, that even the Father of lights was led to a hill with his Son, that all of us might receive the benefits of your mercy, the depths of your grace. We thank you today. You're a good God. In Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.